Well, this morning, being Resurrection Sunday, I would like to speak about how we view and value the resurrection of Jesus and what it should mean to us. Resurrection is defined as the act of rising from the dead or returning to life. The act of rising from the dead or returning to life. In the Gospels, three individuals were restored to life, which were the son of the widow of Nain, the daughter of Jairus, and Lazarus. Although these individuals were restored to life, these events cannot be called resurrections because these people eventually experienced death. Resurrection knows no death. It has no more death. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus spoke some of the most beautiful words. I mean, everything he spoke was beautiful, but these words are special. Jesus said to her, to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." The resurrection that Jesus gives knows no death. At the end of our stay on earth, we close our eyes and then open them in heaven. This is a genuine resurrection. What value do we place on the resurrection of Jesus? How much do we appreciate it? What does it mean to us? What about the resurrection on a personal level? When we accepted the Lord into our lives, he brought us into a new life that he paid for. Through his death and resurrection, we not only have eternal life in heaven, but a restored life here on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 reads, "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Jesus saved us from ruination and destruction in this life and eternal damnation in the next. Psalm 103 verse 4 states, "Who redeems your life from the pit?" In other words, the pit is hell. "Who redeems your life from hell and corruption?" Jesus spoke of hell many times in the Gospels, not to sound gross, as a warning. Mark chapter 9, verse 48, "Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Speaking of hell. Also speaking of hell, Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, "The outer darkness in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Thanks to Jesus, those who have accepted him into their lives will never experience these horrors. Thank you, Jesus. What we will experience is eternity in heaven with the most awesome, most amazing, most phenomenal, totally indescribable person we've ever met, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. The one with the most phenomenal great heart, with infinite love, mercy, compassion, care, tenderness, kindness, amazing pity, grace unknown, and the list goes on and on and on. What about appreciation for resurrection power? If you could turn with me to John chapter 20, John chapter 20, and we'll begin at verse 1. John chapter 20, and we'll begin at verse 1. We'll be reading 1 to 18. Now, early on the first day of the week, what we call today Resurrection Sunday, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken this Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also understood from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the other disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So early on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb where Jesus had been buried and saw that the rock had been rolled away. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, this rock that they rolled in front had to take several guys. It could have weighed up to 200 pounds or more. I mean, this thing was one big rock. And the angel came and rolled it away. No problem for the angel. So Mary Magdalene came to the tomb where Jesus had been buried and saw the rock had been rolled away. Jesus had delivered Mary Magdalene from seven demons. The other disciple whom Jesus loved was John. And when it says over here in the Gospels, the disciple whom Jesus loved, it wasn't like, "Oh, Jesus loves me." You know, it meant Jesus loves even me with all my faults and all my sins. And you know why he outran Peter to the tomb? Because he was a lot younger. It said that disciple outran Peter, because John was a lot younger than Peter. But anyway, when John said the disciple whom Jesus loved, he meant Jesus loves even me with all my sins and my faults. And Peter and John saw what Mary had observed. None of them understood that Jesus had risen from the dead. This lack of understanding that Jesus would rise from the dead may surprise us at first, but maybe we shouldn't be surprised. Do we understand everything that the Lord is trying to teach us? Do his teachings really penetrate us as they should? Peter and John saw and left. I'm sure they loved the Lord, but they left the tomb. Now here comes the contrast. Mary, brokenhearted, would not leave. She knew what Jesus did for her, how he had delivered her from 7 demons. You can imagine how miserable she was. She went from the torment of demons to the great loving heart of Jesus. Mary had a very intense and deep love for the Lord. She appreciated the Lord's resurrection power in her life. How much do we appreciate the value of salvation in our lives? Do we appreciate the power of the resurrection in our lives? Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption? And as we said before, the pit means hell. Do we appreciate that Jesus has changed our eternal future from eternal hell to eternal heaven? I mean, try to get that across your head. That's even hard to understand, but Jesus did it. From eternal hell to eternal heaven. That's like the greatest contrast there is. Easter is not just a one-day celebration. Every day should be a remembrance of a new and restored life that Jesus paid for and gave to us. Gratitude for the eternal life that he bought for us. How much do we love Jesus, considering that he has done and what he has done for us and all he will do for us? How much do we love him? 2 angels asked Mary why she was crying. She said, they have taken away my Lord. She didn't say the Lord, she said my Lord. She knew what Jesus did for her, and he was really Lord of her lives. Is Jesus really Lord of our lives this morning? He has to be Lord of all. Someone once said, if Jesus isn't Lord of all in our lives, he's not Lord at all. A Lord encompasses a sovereignty and power over everything. That's the definition of Lord, over everything. So if Jesus is not Lord of all in our lives, he's not Lord at all in our lives. But Mary said, my Lord, because he was Lord of all in her life. She knew what Jesus did for her. Even the angels didn't satisfy her. Someone else may have been ecstatic with an angelic visitation, but not Mary. She loved and appreciated what Jesus had done for her and what he meant to her, and wanted to see him, not the angels. No one else could satisfy her. We have to feel the same way this morning. From the song that we sing, there is none like you. No one else could touch my heart the way that you do. Do we really feel this way about Jesus? Do we love and value Jesus the way Mary did? Do we know in our hearts that there is no one else like him? That no one else could ever compare to him. No one's on the same plane. No one even could be on the same scale as Jesus. That's impossible. The fourth verse of the hymn, Pass Me Not, states, you, the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth besides you? Whom in heaven but you? If it weren't for Jesus, we'd be going to the pit. Do we understand that this morning? This is what Easter means to us. We would be in the lake of fire for eternity if it weren't for Jesus. Can I hear a big thank you, Jesus, this morning? Amen. Louder, please. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, from eternity in a lake of fire to eternity in heaven, it's only because of one person. Just one, Jesus Christ. Thanks to Jesus, we will be in heaven for eternity. Not a vacation, for eternity. Jesus asked Mary, whom are you seeking? What a question. Who or what are we seeking this morning? What are we hungering for and thirsting for in life this morning? Are we distracted by temporal things of this world that will pass away? Are we giving these things more of a priority than we give to Jesus in our lives? No one else could ever compare to Jesus. No one else died for us and rose from the dead. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus. Who are we seeking this morning? Who is our first love and greatest priority in life? The answer should be Jesus. Mary stood at the tomb when the others left, and she was rewarded. She was the first one to see Jesus resurrected. She was the first missionary. See, Jesus had value for women. Hebrew society did favor men. We know that from reading especially the Old Testament. Well, Jesus turned that around, because the first missionary, the first one to see Jesus was a woman. Jesus uplifted the woman. Now, sometimes you hear in government, we're going to put a woman in this position, and everybody's happy, which is good. You know, for any woman that gets put in high position, but I got news for these politicians. Jesus was the first one to do it. So, Mary was the first one to see Jesus resurrected. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. The song I've just seen Jesus, as we heard this morning, describes how Mary Magdalene felt on this first resurrection morning. I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord, alive. And I knew he really saw me too, as if till now I never lived. All that I've done before won't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus, and I'll never be the same again. Do you feel as though you never really lived until you met Jesus? Do you feel that since you met Jesus, you will never be the same again? Do you feel like there was no one like him in your life? If you don't feel this way, you don't really know Jesus. I have to say that because I want you to know him, to possess and confess the reality of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to repeat that. Do you feel as though you never really lived until you met Jesus? Do you feel that since you met Jesus, you will never be the same again? Do you feel like there was no one like him in your life? If you don't feel this way, you don't really know him. Even if you've been in church many years, it would be good to ask the question, what kind of impact has he had on my life? Do we truly realize the impact that Jesus has had on our lives? Do we hunger for a greater impact of Jesus in our lives? A person hasn't truly lived until he or she has really met Jesus. After truly meeting Jesus, a person will never be the same again. The person will never be the same again because Jesus touched his or her life. And whatever Jesus touches is never the same again. Do you want more of Jesus in your life? Do you want to really experience Jesus? If so, seek him the way Mary did. Seek him with all your heart. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. If you have never experienced Jesus and the impact that he can have in your life, you need to accept him into your heart this morning. Or you can renew your commitment to him this morning. What about the resurrection? If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read 62 to 66. Matthew 27, 62 to 66. Verse 62. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, this would have been Saturday before Resurrection Sunday, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard, go, make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure, along with the guard. They set on this, they set a seal on the stone. Pilate told the chief priests and Pharisees to make the grave as secure as they could with the guard. No guard, no security, no power could stop the resurrection. What occurred was a defeat of what we know of as death. In his resurrection, Jesus destroyed the power of death. Death couldn't handle Jesus. As he destroyed the power, and he did destroy the power of death for each one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? What does the resurrection mean to us this morning? We celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but what impact does it have in our lives? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." How well do we know Jesus, and how much of him have we received and accepted into our lives? Are we living the life of someone whose life has been changed and resurrected by the power of the Lord? We want our lives to show the resurrection power of Jesus, a life possessing and showing the love of God, a life dedicated and committed to him, a person whose heart and mind is under the control of the Holy Spirit, a person who was filled and continually refilled with the Holy Spirit, a life overflowing with the reality of Jesus Christ. Do we view our encounter with Jesus as the greatest event in our lives? Do we view our encounter with Jesus as the best thing that could ever happen to us, that has ever happened to us? This morning, do you feel that you have really encountered Jesus to the point where he is an addiction in your life? If you don't feel like Jesus is an addiction in your life, there's so much more of him you really have to receive. Because when you really find Jesus, he is the strongest addiction that you could ever imagine. They say things like heroin and fentanyl is addicting. Try Jesus. You want to see something that's addicting? The song "More Than Wonderful" states, he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for. Everything he's promised and so much more. He's more than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus means to me.